Once dubbed clapped-out buffalo country, Stage 3 of Kakadu has little of the scenic splendour associated with the rest of the national park. But the World Heritage Committee has determined the area has considerable natural and cultural value, enough to include it on the World Heritage List. Kakadu National Park now covers the entire catchment area of the South Alligator River, an increase of more than 6,500 square kilometres.
Kakadu was first declared as a national park in 1979, but the Kakadu we know today came about in a series of stages. In 1984, Stage 2 of the park was declared. Then in 1991, the southern region, or Stage 3, became part of the park. Finally, in 1992, all three stages gained World Heritage listing for their environmental and cultural values.
One of the interesting things about the Aboriginal aspects of the site is not only are there those marvellous works of art there, but also in that region have been discovered the oldest ground axe in the world and the oldest grinding stone known to man. So it's of tremendous anthropological interest as well as aesthetic interest.
But uranium has always played an important role in Kakadu. It was the establishment of three uranium leases, Jabiluka, Ranger and Kungara, in the 1970s that first prompted the federal government to declare the national park. But by the late 1990s, uranium was becoming an increasingly controversial issue in the park.
More than 100 protesters were arrested today at the Jabiluka mine site in the Northern Territory. It's the largest number of arrests yet in a series of protests run from a small camp near the site since March. Despite today's mass arrests, the protesters say they'll keep up the campaign against the construction of the uranium mine, which was approved by the federal government last month. Bronwyn Adcock reports.
The Jabiluka mine is thought to be one of the world's richest undeveloped uranium deposits. Owners of the mine, Energy Resources Australia, or ERA, say it could yield up to 90,000 tonnes of uranium.
These days, Ranger Uranium Mine still operates within the national park, and visitors can tour around the mine. Yuri Musinex runs tours of Ranger.
There's stockpiles of material that's come out of the mine pit. It's material that's on top of the ore body. There's no mineralisation in it. It's basically overburden that goes back into the pit one day when the rehabilitation starts.
Hello, my name's Yuri. I do the Ranger Uranium Mine tours. I suppose a mine's in a very controversial area with the Kakadu, and it's quite a contrast when you look over the escarpment country over there and see areas that got paintings there that are some of the oldest and best paintings in the area, in that area, and country that's untouched for hundreds or thousands of years. And yet right in front of it, we've got this state-of-the-art modern mining company, no doubt mining the most controversial mineral in the world at the moment.
But the history of Kakadu goes beyond the days of uranium mining. Probably the first contact between local Aboriginal people and the outside world was with Indonesians seeking the valuable trepang, or sea cucumber, growing off the coast of Kakadu. The first European contact came in the form of Portuguese and Dutch sailing ships exploring the northern coastline. There are even examples of rock art which depict sailing ships in the park. But it was Ludwig Leichhardt who first explored the area when he travelled overland from the Darling Downs to Port Essington, as Darwin was then known, in 1845. After this first contact, the north of Australia very soon opened up. And with that came the spread of introduced species, including the Asian water buffalo. By the 1880s, buffalo hunting was a big industry, employing many local Aboriginal people. Steve Winderlich is the manager of natural and cultural programs in the park.
Buffalo hunting's been a big part of the history of this area, well predating the national park days. Some of the biggest early interaction between Aboriginal people and Western people was through buffalo hunting. There was significant buffalo hide industry. Lots of Aboriginal people worked with Western people that came into the area. That was a major source of employment. A lot of people who live here now talk about their grandfathers and fathers and other people growing up in those days. So it was a very significant contact period and became a major source of employment. There's even back in the days before roads here, buffalo hides were shipped out on sailing ships from some of the major rivers here where hides would be loaded onto different forms of sailing ship and taken elsewhere so they could be sold.
These days, buffalo are a big part of the park's feral animal management plan. Along with wild pig, horse and the cane toad, buffalo are just one of the many introduced species that rangers are trying to manage. But with thousands of tourists visiting the park each year, visitor management is also a big part of the park's management strategy.
G'day, my name's Bruce Henley and I'm from down at Port Neal in South Australia. And we're up here in Kakadu for the fishing. And we come up, this is our 15th trip up here now in a row. So we've been coming up every year for 15 years.
Hello, my name's Thomas. I'm from Germany. We came from Darwin, now we're here in Kakadu. And we really enjoy the nature here. And I especially like being at the water and to fish and, with all the crocodiles, it makes it very, of course, dangerous, but very interesting. And the birds are singing, and it sounds so good when you wake up.
The colours are just amazing, aren't they? You can't describe the colours. They're just so vibrant. I mean, look at that green. I'm a green person. I love greens. But look at that green. Isn't it spectacular? It's so fresh.
But Kakadu isn't just for the tourists. From resort managers to miners, Jabiru really is a service town for the people who live and work in Kakadu. Hank Schinkel is the operations manager for the southern region of the park.
I live in Jabiru Township. It's a township of about 1,100 people, and it's a unique township too because everyone's busy doing something. But it's also got a good social life. You know, there's plenty of activities after work. It really is an assortment of people that live in Jabiru. Predominantly, about 60% from what I hear is ranger mine staff. And then you've got park staff, support services, you've got the education, teachers, fire, police, and also a number of tradespeople that live within the park as well, because it is a small township, so you have all the services that are required to support that town.
Well, that's the end of our stop off in Jabiru. While you're in the area, it's worthwhile stopping in at the Bawali Visitors Centre. This is where you'll get a comprehensive overview of Kakadu, from the natural environment to park history and Indigenous culture. Our next stop is the beautiful East Alligator region. Continue north towards Ubia, and I'll meet you there.